This is Engineer Eric from the Jimmy Doan Show. This is part two of our September 16th podcast. Let's do Engineer Eric here on the keyboard right here.
Oh, that's,
yeah. And Jack Rhodes on the drums.
Ah, you guys are good.
Jimmy on lead vocals.
Yeah, right. You can. I don't think so.
I'm playing the part of the dog on that.
I want to finish up one thing about who was it you answered?
Brandon.
Brandon. Mm-hmm. In today's paper, there were several lists. There was a list of the Congress humans who are going to jail. Oops. I mean, these are people you trust. Do you trust the government? You say, well, I mean, Nay from Ohio is going to jail, and the other guy,
bye bye,
and the guy from Chicago who is, you know, all these are bribery people, and they're malfeasance, misfeasance, the whole deal. They even have, of course, one of the things that in Congress, Alcee Hastings was impeached, was thrown out, and yet he got reelected and came back. But he came back. He's like a yo-yo.
But
my point is
the Marion Barry effect.
That's right.
No matter what you do,
if you're caught on tape.
That's right.
Snorting crack.
But it was
crack
with
a hooker.
Right.
You can still be mayor of Washington,
D.C. That made it popular, man.
That's right. I mean, but to answer his question, this is, do you think there's some fallible people in government? And as we know, Lord Acton's thing, his little aphorism there, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And, but I mean, seriously, I don't think that anybody can go into office these days with the money that's involved for more than one term and not be corrupted by the system.
How many billions of dollars, if you divided it up per congressman, do they control at this point?
Well, it depends. It's 2.8 trillion, so you divide by 100 for the Senate, which is like, you know, I don't know the math, but it's $280 million or something like
take
that.
Take zeros and, off.
Yeah,
tough math.
Dude. Okay, tough math. Well, again, we're talking about 9 zeros down to 7 zeros. So whatever, so that much. You do the math, listener. And then but there's 345 people in the House, so again, it's a bunch. And I pointed that out here locally to our school board. The school board here, which is autonomous, it's $338 million, but they're each like a $60 million little thing. And they sit there and fight and spit over $10,000, $20,000. I mean, chump change.
Pocket change.
It's a rounding error, you know, as we say. So anyway, let's move along. What's next?
Decline in Arctic ice.
Okay, this is
our environmental section.
Environmental section.
Cue the environmental music.
That's right. Yeah, right.
There it is.
There.
That was the Arctic ice cap melting.
That's right.
That's what that was. Flowing like a river.
Well, there are so many things that occur. Of course, as that's all. Fresh water, isn't it, up there?
Yep.
So that's all going to the glaciers, at any rate, are fresh water, and that changes the salinity of the ocean.
Cool. That's right.
But it's gone. Apparently, the new studies from people from the this is from the professor of the environment is going to death company or corporation nonprofit organization. I mean, he's a member of an organization that studies the environment, but the name of the organization is something like, I think the environment is going to hell. And so, you know, before he even issues the study, pretty much, which side
it might possibly be biased.
It's going to be pro-business?
Yeah, you are exactly right.
Pro-oil.
So, well, I mean, all
huge
of this...
Huge Walmart supporter.
Yeah, that's right. All of this stuff, though, it's fascinating. It's all of this stuff is interlinked when you look at it. This guy's study has shown that in the past 2 or 3 years, merely, that the ice caps are just disappearing. And they said, well, this happened in, I think it was in 1960s or something like that. They did the same, but it came back. And he says, but this time it won't.
Let me point out something to our listeners here. If you have been watching, you may have seen that there are a lot of people out there who say that there's been a current spike in global temperature, in the average global temperature. If you look closely, you'll see that scale is about a half a degree. That's right. The big spike that they're talking about. Now, you're talking about a climate that varies 100 degrees every year.
Right.
And yet... a half a degree increase on average is the spike they're talking about.
Oceans are rising.
Yeah. Now, also, if you look back over the last 200 million years.
Even Jimmy's not that old.
I know. I know. So it's hard to look back.
100 million, but not.
But if you do, you'll find that the last million years was the coolest on record of the last 200 million years. And in the last million years, there have been 10 very predictable fluctuations in the temperature of about 5 degrees average. And what happens is every 100,000 years, the Earth cools for 80,000 years, and then it warms for 20,000 years. Now, we're currently 18,000 years into the warming cycle from the last ice age. Everybody remembers the last ice age?
Sure. I remember that, yep.
And so we got 2,000 years of warming to go before it starts to cool again if it follows the current cycle. But take heart, there's not a big problem because the warming is only going to be a couple of degrees on average.
That's
so
right.
It may cause flooding and such, and the coastline may change, but it'll be such a slow time frame that it'll change it.
It's not going to be massive.
It's not going to be.
No,
like,
it's not going to be like hit as a tsunami.
Well,
like,
it's not going to be a tsunami. Okay,
you're
I was worried. I thought we were going to spin off our orbit and go into the sun.
Like New Orleans, right?
The sun. That's the hottest place on Earth. But
I can't even say that anymore without you guys jumping in there.
All right. So what you're saying is we could use a little warming, no problem. Break out your bikinis.
Hey, it's time to buy some. The people up, it's time to buy some oceanfront property up in Nova Scotia. Kansas, right.
Well, on stilts.
Again, the market will figure this out.
Exactly.
I mean, there's no question.
There's
There's plenty of time. The market's going to figure out. So they grow winter wheat in Brazil. Who cares?
Right.
I mean, that's okay. I can handle that. Mm-hmm. And of course, one of the things that scares the bejesus out of the environmentalists is this Saudi guy that came up and said, oh, by the way, in case you're interested, we've only found 12% of the oils and gas so far. We got enough to last even at accelerating rates. That is to say that China and India are going to go absolutely nuts. We got enough to last another 70 or 100 years or whatever it is of oil, which it, by any stretch of the imagination, most of the people that matter today are going to be dead. So
if you're listening
you will be dead.
You start the transformation. I mean, again, we were talking their age of spiritual machines. You might actually live forever.
That's right. And that, and but you won't need oil.
And that's right.
That's live forever thing. In a jar. Well, yeah. Liquid.
That's right. On a specific cartoon show.
With a snorkel in your mouth or something.
Well, the thing about it is those jars are way too small. Like, where's the babes, you know?
I want a big bionic body about 20 feet tall.
Did you see that bionic chick yesterday or whatever?
Oh, that's right.
The arm thing?
Yeah,
she was
pretty good.
What, did she get shot off in Iraq or something?
Yeah, a motorcycle accident. Yeah.
Close enough.
Yeah, it's pretty decent bionic arm.
All right.
But... the question is, how fast does it move?
Next subject.
Moving right along.
Staying on the environmental thing, you mentioned the new green cars.
Well, this is another thing. Again, how
might not be so green after all.
That's right. Well, I have said this.
That's right. As they're chugging down dripping battery acid.
Right. Spewing chemicals.
That's right. Well, it turns out that there are so many things about this. For instance, how do you make the hydrogen if it's a hydrogen thing, the fuel cells and so forth?
You squeeze whales in a big press.
I don't think so. No, I think you're wrong.
We can try that first and then see what happens.
That's right. Yeah, right. Okay.
Government
plan. To make the press. Right.
So batteries.
Well, not only the batteries, but when you plug them in, right, you got to fire up Deerhaven over here, or your atomic power plant, or your coal-burning, sulfur-spewing plant.
Or your nuclear power plant.
Nuclear.
Lisa.
Or your nuclear power plant. Well, of course, that's kind of, they're going to fight against that because Three Mile Island blow up, as we always say, more people were killed at Chappaquiddick than at Three Mile Island. Okay, that's good. Thank you, Mary Jo. and the crowd goes wild. The deal is, though, that you have to have, in order to generate electricity, you've got to have, you know, all the wiring. The copper, the mining of the coal costs, as we've seen here in Kentucky and West Virginia recently, people died. Bush lied, people died. And the point is that there are many of those kinds of things. And the other thing, as far as the green cars are concerned, if you buy that as your first car, what do you do with the old one? Where does it go? to car heaven.
Landfill.
Well landfill, that's right. And it's full of all kinds of
burn windows. Those rubber tires.
Oh, I was going to say, there's still a lot of petroleum needed to build this.
Well,
green
as anybody will tell you,
plastic that's rubber.
The word is out that it costs about 1 1/3 gallons of oil, petroleum product, to make a gallon of ethanol.
Oops.
Yeah, oops. Right, exactly. I mean, it's a losing.
Let's not advertise that, guys.
It's what do they call it? It's endothermic in the, what does that mean?
I don't know.
That's an animal from the Ice Age. No, I don't know.
We're looking it up as we speak.
No, the giant endotherm comes across the planet and eats the exotherm.
And these green cars are also cost a little extra green.
Well, the reason, and when you realize, wait a minute, it's not only that. Right. Not only do they cost a bunch more, and this whole subsidy thing is cranked in here. They had a big thing when you're going to go green on your house. Mm-hmm. You get a subsidy from the rest of the taxpayers that pay for your new solar heater, that pay for your green car. The car may cost $50,000 to make, and the taxpayers of the United States of America pick up, you know, $30,000 of it. I mean, the numbers are way off on this, but
we're exaggerating.
But the point is that you don't pay the actual consumer person of the green car doesn't begin to pay for the amount of energy that went into producing it. Because think about it. If you get $5,000 subsidy from me to buy your green car, I had to go out and do something for that. And that's $5,000 that I don't get to spend another way
on eBay.
On eBay. Exactly. On eBay. Well, I don't spend money on eBay.
Right.
I invest. An investment.
You only win things.
I win things on eBay. It's like Las Vegas. You know, you win.
Well, so to support our Ford employees out there, go out and buy yourself a big excursion 14-mile to the gallon car.
That's right.
I got my Ford.
Screw
it. I got my
Vienero.
Well, you saw where, and I do want to talk about this, and it seems like a digression. It's a dovetail.
That's right.
And that has to do with the fact that Ford, I think that Ford is laying off how many? 10, 20, 30,000 people? Buy out there on the big buyout?
Okay.
They're retrenching. I'm going to talk about another arena. That happens to bring up a very important libertarian-type point that I want to talk about.
Okay.
But we're not there yet. We are still on the environment.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned. That's right. We are still on the environment. And, so now, also, when you dispose of the green car, when it gets old.
That's right.
Where does it go?
Just push it in the ocean.
Well, that's true, because the ocean can eat everything.
It's a reef.
You talk about something. The battleship Arizona leaks, what is it? A couple of gallons or whatever. It's going to leak in Pearl Harbor. It went down. They took 5,000 people with it, and it's going to leak, I think they said, until the year 2999.
Well, that's how the tourists find it. When you got in the boat, you look for the oil slick.
Slick, yeah. And there's no way they can fix it.
Yeah.
And then, I mean,
well, there's a way, but not without pulling it out and destroying the
tourist. That's the typical. Oh, the tourist thing. That's
well,
right.
Just go down there and stick some gum in there or something.
Yeah, easy for you to say. Duct tape. Always love duct tape. Oh, that reminds me of that little cartoon that you saw. We have to put that up sometime. The religion in 1 minute.
That's right.
Oh, yeah, that was pretty cute.
We'll have to put a link.
Check out JimmyDoan.com.
Yeah, we'll have to do that. Okay, and we're coming up here for a break here in a few minutes.
Okay.
And when we come back.
Ostensible?
We might not actually break, but I mean, for purposes of.
We're going to listen to some music.
We might just for a minute or so, and then we'll come back anyway.
Is extensible a wordification?
It's strategery wordification.
A definition?
Right.
I'm not sure. Anyway, we want to talk. We're almost out of stuff to talk about.
No, we
got more. Okay, we got more. Okay, well, I want to talk about.
Jimmy run out of things to talk about?
No.
We talk in his sleep.
Not
what do you
possible.
Mean? No, exactly.
That's right. He has. Jimmy. Jimmy who? Jimmy.
Jimmy.
Immigration raid.
Yep.
And the China court software. Did we talk about that yet?
No, not yet.
Okay. And
light notes.
Then light notes.
And bunch of goofy light notes.
We have some really good light notes. You're going to want to. We have to devote a segment to Light Notes.
That's right. And for our new listeners out there on ZTLK, Light Notes is sometimes our favorite part of the show.
Well, we get to talk. These are things that actually sometimes happen.
Other people told us they happen.
That's right.
So we believe them.
Okay, we're going to take a break right now. And we'll be back.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
Welcome to the finest hotel in all of Cuba. Come on down. We'll leave the searchlight on for you. If you're under arrest, with no charges to confess, come with the settings great and made to captivate. You won't mind the wait, though you'll get no trial date. You'll be getting a tan like you couldn't in Afghanistan. Here at Guantanamo,
there's breakfast burritos, we can swim in Speedos. They let us play Yahtzee, Durbin calls them Nazis. There's trips to Bahamas. If you find
some people say it's cruel, I know. Call it the gulag, but it isn't so. It's nicer than Buffalo. Here at Guantanamo,
while you're detained, they might just pick your brain.
With a view so great,
so great,
and lots of time to ululate, you'll forget the urgency of the insurgency. Daiquiris so tall,
so tall,
rimmed with sodium pentothal. Freeze your throat, you cannot yell death to the infidel. Down at Guantanamo,
there's Lindy, we miss her, and games of naked twister. Nice sunsets and beaches, if you don't mind leashes, and songs on your iPods.
Ooh,
nicely with your
jihad. We Guantanamo is safer than another place we know. Standing a phone's throw away from Russell Crowe.
And we're back.
And we're back. Oh, anyway.
Smooth transition from the Capitol steps.
Yeah, okay. And we're back. Yes, live. Live on live in Saturday. Here it is, the
16th.
Hello, I can't even talk anymore. That's right. I have to try
it. It's a new format for us, so we're getting used to all these breaks.
Well,
normally we just talk for about 2.5 hours straight.
And then edit it down to the essential five.
That's right.
Edit it down to the essential five.
The best 4 minutes of the whole show, and then that's the Jimmy Doan Show.
But we enjoy it while we're doing it. This is great.
We're
getting
used to it.
And we hope you do, too. And don't forget to send us, if you don't like the show, then don't bother to write. But if you do, we'd like to hear, we have some regulars.
Yeah,
actually,
mm-hmm.
around the world, as you know,
right.
I didn't look up the to see who's been listening to our podcast.
We had some hits from Switzerland this week,
yeah,
and we had Morocco again,
Morocco. Brazil. We get Brazil,
lots of UK. Yeah, we had Sao Paulo.
So
welcome, all you international listeners.
And in fact, Engineer Eric just got a call from Lisi Lucy, who is listening right now live.
Lisi Lucy.
So we are actually,
Lucy,
for sure, not even, you know,
we actually have at least one
not in this room.
Okay.
Actually, by our count, for every listener that calls, that means there's 1,000 listeners out there.
That's
so.
Right. Yeah, no doubt.
For our marketing package.
That's right.
And you can imagine that the Blade server at
overheating.
Overheating, right. The electrons
are... Smoke is rising.
That's right. Smoke.
ZTLK.
You know, our friend Tracy, she's going to be going for auditions for Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, and guess who she picked for her lifeline. So.
Oh, Jimmy Doan.
No, she didn't.
Jimmy Doan.
Yes, she did.
Oh, my God.
Regis, I'd like to use
Jimmy
my
Curtis
lifeline.
Jimmy Curtis and Eric are going to be on the...
That's right.
On the thing.
Well, now she's...
So.
Now, if you're only allowed to call one at a time. One
right,
of them,
right. So we can't all sit in a room with four computers going, you know.
Yeah.
She asked, right. I want to ask this question, and we Google the crap
right.
out of it. No, I think that, well, obviously.
They probably isolate you in this situation.
I would imagine. Oh, I'm sure they do. Well, the stuff's all pre-taped. The point is that she's got the generational thing here. Jimmy, if they ask a question that has to do with the 50s or 60s or something, she'll obviously
1850s,
use, right? Whatever, she'll ask Jimmy.
Industrial Revolution.
Thank you so much. If she asks anything about ZZ Top or whatever it is, or the post-disco era, she'll call you guys. And, of course, if anything that is... In the people that are the 10 and 12 year old generation, you'll ask Jimmy again.
Right.
That's it. So I cover
sine wave of age.
I skip a generation in my critical knowledge.
And because of my children, I'm well versed in SpongeBob.
Oh, that's right.
So. Any SpongeBob questions I got?
That's right.
Golden spatula, we got it.
Yes, we got SpongeBob.
Patrick, all that stuff.
Oh, God, I got to say, I don't have that. Okay, anyway, so the next thing is the...
Getting into our light notes.
No, we got an immigration raid.
Now, I did not read this entire article. Well, tell me what that is. The fact is that they actually have a population in this town.
Right.
Right. There was a community in Georgia, in Stillmore, Georgia, which is pretty still right now, about 1,000 people, and they raided it, and basically there was apparently...
Nobody left?
I'm sorry?
Nobody left, or what?
Well, no, there was... it was only it was 120 illegal immigrants had been loaded onto buses inbound. So, in other words, the rest of them fled. They scattered like, you know...
cockroaches in the kitchen.
Right, turn the light on. And so this town is basically just completely shut down. And so I figured, well, this is a great place to send your homeless people.
Well, this brings up a point. I noticed that the... guy who arrested everybody here, the Immigration and Customs Enforcement spokesman, said, well, we have to remember that all these people were here illegally. Okay? He's using it's the law as the justification.
Right.
Well,
right.
We also remember that it's the law was the justification for slavery. All right? It's the law is a totally non-substantive justification.
Well, and it is interesting because Neil Bortz, whom I listen to occasionally, is big on this. You know, you committed a crime. But it's the law. We talked about this, touched on this in one of the shows where the little girl had a lemonade stand.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they came by and arrested her. At her, you know, getting ready to, you know, haul her down to the station.
Handcuffed.
Because it was against the law.
Right.
Well, give me a break.
Right.
I mean, I'm not necessarily saying that the immigration is of the same caliber of the lemonade stand, little girl lemonade. But as you mentioned, counselor, just because that is it, that to use that as the sole justification is spurious.
Yeah,
every time
I see it, it's the law. Do it because it's the law.
Well,
this is my guts out.
Well,
right
this
there.
Is the same thing that comes up when they say, I'm just doing my job.
Right.
I mean, I have heard that. So I was at a closing one time. And there was a little piece of, not corrosion, but rot that was on the edge of the roof. In other words, it overhung.
Wood rot.
Wood rot. Right. But it did not affect the construction of the house at all. It was in the eave. And it was like you could barely see. Wasn't going to allow the closing. Now, there were thousands, literally tens of thousands of dollars on the line on this. And he said, whoa, come on, give me a break. This is, you know, I can fix this in 2 minutes. And he says,
can spray paint.
Can spray paint.
And you got one. Yeah, right. I got some duct tape and a spray paint.
That's right.
All right, so what did he say?
And so he said, just doing my job. We had to put the closing off for a couple of days until he could come back. I mean, he was just doing his job.
You know, this reminds me.
And surprisingly, when he came back, he had a big knot on his head, didn't he?
He came back?
Yeah. You're right.
He had an accident and he didn't remember.
An accident.
Head? Now, this reminds me of something that Frederick Bastiat said in 1850, which is the surest way to make the law respected is to make the law respectable. You know, if you got a stupid law, there's no point in following it.
That's
why we have a constitution, to hold the laws up against the constitution. A lot of laws are illegal.
And of course they are. And of course they get it wrong. I mean, even the laws that now are legal, as we saw, for instance, what are they thinking on McCain-Feingold, for instance, the Kelo decision, the one in California.
Raich.
Well, and they did mention, I thought it was interesting on your constitutional tapes, they did mention Filburn.
Wicard versus Filburn.
Wicard versus
Filburn.
One
of our most,
which they had the perfect chance to throw it out, and they did, and they, as even the guy on the tape, the guy giving the lecture said, Congress can do anything, and that was one of the cases that he cited.
For our listeners out there, we're going to be citing Wicard versus Filburn on a regular basis, so I'll explain the case very quickly for you. Basically, this was the case back about 70 years ago when they said there was this guy who grows corn on his property.
Wheat, actually.
Okay, and none of it left his property.
Right.
He used it all. What he didn't use himself, he fed to the cows and pigs and whatever
else. On his own property.
Right. And the Supreme Court ruled that Congress had the power to tell this guy, this one guy, that he could not grow the crops because if everybody did it, it would affect interstate commerce. And since Congress has the power to regulate interstate commerce, they can therefore regulate this guy's use of his own property and the growing of his own crops that never leaves his property.
Right.
Just an absolutely spurious decision.
There's a little footnote to this.
It's
Jimmy
a big footnote.
Jimmy footnote to this, and that is it was during the war. And during wartime, the Constitution usually gets thrown out the window, as we all know, since the time of the Civil War. And the courts had been packed. This was in 1942.
Yeah, this was absolutely the switch in time that saved nine case. Which means that Roosevelt was about to change the makeup of the Supreme Court.
We'll talk about that later. Actually, that was a little earlier. But the point is, this was a case that this was a case that was unanimous. It was 9-0.
Right.
And every one of those guys, there was no opinion. It just said, we affirm.
Or every one of those guys had a, well, actually, I read the opinion. There's an opinion there. But
it's, as I said, there's no opinion. What I mean is when there is no affirm, no opinion, they say we affirm or whether we deny or whatever it is, and then there's no opinion.
Right, yeah. Right. Unanimously. But every one of those guys, Roosevelt had a hand in appointing. So.
Right. And in order to stay alive, we're in the middle of a war. We were really, at that point, we were actually losing the war. So anyway, then they came up with this, the race thing in California, where the people growing marijuana on their own property and the federal government, instead of doing whatever they do, they said it affects interstate commerce. And you think, whoa, wait, hold on, stop. You know, why are they doing it on that? And the Supreme Court of the United States just, you know, this year, last year, whatever, upheld Wickard Filburn on the race case. And they had a perfect, we are at war, I guess, but I mean, still, that wasn't the reason for it. They had a perfect chance to overturn it finally, and they didn't.
Thanks a lot, Scalia.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Scalia. Right, exactly. So anyway, the point being that there are a lot of laws that are illegal, and, you know, at what point do you not obey them, or you have to take them, and sometimes it's just too expensive to do it. The sheeple are going. The other thing that happens, of course, is that Congress goes and they pass laws every day, and the local here, they do it as well in the county commission, the city, and they don't really examine the laws that are already on the books. Sometimes they call it tightening it up or strengthening.
Shoring it up.
That's right. And as you get more and more laws, what you find is that it ends up being almost anarchy, no law, because they conflict. And so you have to pick and choose. And at that point, as you well know, you no matter what you do, you're disobeying a law. Sometimes you find out that in the heat of obeying one law, you're disobeying another one. And if they want to, they can come get you for that. And you say, well, whoa.
We live in a society of laws.
Yeah. So anyway, the thing about it is once there's nothing so permanent as a temporary government law or temporary government program. And that's where it's headed. And I don't know what the answer is to that. I'm done with that.
Well, yeah.
Way to pinch that one off.
Except for the fact that in China. Now they found a solution to this.
Yes,
they have a software program. I guess it's Microsoft Windows Vista, whatever. Something, I don't know. And they feed in, just like in early Star Trek or something. They feed in the details of the case, and it spits out the result.
The
sentence.
The sentence, which is
like a fortune teller, fortune telling machine.
So whatever the computer says.
That's right. And the appeal.
Well, you all sent it to says a death. But it was a parking ticket.
Well, but the computer does not lie. Right?
The computer does not lie. Right.
It's the whopper.
That's right.
It's the whopper.
The whopper says,
I wouldn't trust this overgrown pile of microchips any further than I could throw it.
The whopper says drawn and quartered.
That's right.
But that wasn't one of the legal sentences.
Bring in the horses.
No, but I'm saying that they've obviously, now that the Chinese being as efficient as they are, have just decided to turn over the legal system to overgrown box of microchips.
So judges? We don't need no stinking judges.
They're going to get their, you know, their samurais out there or whatever. You know. That's right. Take care of it.
That's it. That'll be good. So anyway, that's we're looking forward to seeing that in China. We have we have a trade deficit with them, so I don't know, maybe send some of their printers over here to work on our railroads.
How is that gonna help out?
I don't know.
Good at railroads.
I'm done with the good stuff.
The good stuff.
I mean the heavy duty stuff. We got about 30 minutes to go.
Okay, what about a break time?
Break time.
What time is the next break time?
It's right now, actually.
Okay.
So cue the music.
Yeah,
cue
the break. It'd be nice to...
I forgot. I was supposed to do that. I was so involved in my own voice.
Yeah, but it's the engineer's fault.
Right.
You never fix the problem, you fix the blame.
Okay. Hey, well, thanks for listening here on ZTLK.
Yeah, we'll come back.
The Jimmy Doan Show.
Don't let me down.
Okay, now we're trying to get sued, right?
Yeah, well, that's right.
Copyright by
it to be some kind of publicity.
Yeah, back with the Jimmy Doan show.
Back with the Jimmy Doan show here.
ZTLK.
September 16th.
That's right.
2002.
Okay, right. I was going to go into the future. Okay.
Hope y'all are drinking heavily.
That's right.
Well, we are.
Well, speak for yourself. I'm not totally drunk yet.
No. getting used to this new format here.
That's right. Well, that's right. We've got another 25 minutes to go here, and we're having some fun with it. Mm-hmm. So basically, we're done. I got reprimanded by my staff during the break. I reprimanded, mind you, for saying that we were done with the good stuff. No, we were done with the stuff that may affect your
life.
The
bad stuff.
Yeah,
now we're doing the good stuff.
Yeah, now we're doing the good stuff. This is the stuff that certainly will affect your
dyslexic
life.
Dyslexic Jimmy was having
that's right.
Film.
Dyslexic. No, the first thing that I got that I thought was rather humorous, and I is the animal bordellos. What is this? This is in Norway or Denmark or
what story? Tell us the story.
Okay, well, you tell us.
Tell our listeners what the hell is an animal bordello.
It's scary.
Okay, anyway, I got this from Jeff in Norway. So
one of our listeners,
if he's listening right now,
this is all his
fault. Kind of cool. He actually could be listening right now.
All right. It's not about 9 o'clock at night or something.
Right, exactly. You know, he's probably out there drinking his homemade hooch.
All
right,
so this is some crazy stuff.
Have you ever priced hooch in Norway?
That's why he's making his own for like $1 a gallon or something ridiculous. It's cool.
Potatoes.
But he sent me this article, and basically, this is unbelievable. Animal bordellos draw Norwegians. He's American, but.
Alright, so
his wife's Norwegian.
So what is an animal bordello?
Well, an animal bordello is basically, you're talking about a farm, basically, that people actually have animals that you can go and have sex with.
Come on.
It's legal.
Legal.
Get out of town.
Legal gray area. So apparently there's like some kind of a.
Where is PETA?
Do we
have a representative?
Well, it was funny
PETA?
Because I read this article in just such disbelief, and Jeff does have a habit of sending some really
this isn't
funny
a joke.
Disbelief.
You're saying
no, this is serious stuff.
All right,
and but I thought one of the funniest responses.
Now the bordellos are like in Denmark, right?
The bordellos are in Denmark. That's
correct. So you have to go across the bridge or whatever it is, take the ferry boat.
Right.
So an animal whorehouse.
Right. An animal whorehouse. And I thought it was great because I sent this to EJ, who's been up. He's actually working on his chocolate.
One of our other part-time guests,
right? Mm-hmm. Co-host.
And he's sponsored, actually, on our website, I think.
Absolutely. Right. Krishan Chocolates. He's make the best truffles in the world, if you ever want some, definitely.
Yeah. There's a pricey.
Our ad for the break. Anyway, the fact is, he sent us one of the funniest emails. He sent it back. He goes, here's a thank you from the plane, because I'm already on it. I'm going to the Beastie Bordello in Denmark. I'll be there in 2 hours in a car waiting for me at the airport.
So he's on his way right now?
Yeah. To take me directly to the farm. I've reserved a squealy, greased pig for the first course.
This is awful.
Then I'll have some sweet penned up veal. And next, this is so cool.
Take the kids in the other room.
The calf is too small for it to move an inch. There's a glory hole, so you walk up behind it and go to town. Then I got a couple hours with a gaggle of geese. And finally, the piece de no resistance, I get to bleep one goat. So when people call me a goat bleeper, they'll be right. As a final smack, I'm toying with the idea of Mary's little lamb.
This is just one of our crazy listeners out there, apparently. Not all listeners are like this. Not all of our emails.
So anyway, I thought that. So he wanted to know if we'd like some pictures or possibly have him send us a blow up sheep.
No, that'd be a no.
This is going to do. What it's going to do for the spam porn industry. I know that occasionally on my spam bucket or whatever it is, it'll come in there and say
your subscription bucket.
Yeah, right. Now it'll say something like women with animals or something like that. So I guess this is somebody decided to take it to the
next level.
Click on those, what do you see?
I have no idea. Jimmy doesn't know. Jimmy does not visit those sites.
Yep, this is unreal. So, let's see.
Well, one of our crazy lightning.
I don't know. You can never do that here in the States because animals have rights over here.
That's right.
Boy, isn't that the truth?
Oh, my God. You'd be thrown under.
Swallow goldfish, man. They'll take you down.
Well, of course, that's part of the leash law here.
Yeah.
The leash law in this town covers swallowing live goldfish in public.
Yeah.
And it covers.
It's okay if it's as long as the goldfish is on a leash or what?
It has to be dead. Mm-hmm. And, I don't think it has to be cooked. Just it be dead.
Lightly salted.
Otherwise, you would
dead before you eat it.
Dead before you eat it. That's right. And you can be arrested for that here. And then they have feral cats and ferrets.
I've defended people on animal cruelty charges before.
Have you really?
Yeah, don't leave your dog in the car accidentally.
Oops.
You'll get arrested for that.
I wonder, just out of curiosity, and we're digressing, of course, but what is the difference in the penalty, do you suppose, if you leave your kid versus your dog in the car?
Not much.
Well, same.
It just depends what happens to them. You know, if the kid dies.
Oh, that's a problem.
Yeah.
What if the dog dies?
You're in trouble.
You're going to jail?
Oh, yeah.
You're going to jail if your dog dies.
They wanted 60 days on my client. They left their poor little puppy in the car.
Dog died.
Yep.
And 60 days actually for a death when you think about it. But
death of a dog, it was accidental, and she loved the dog. She just went to the mall and
You would think that would be punishment enough.
You would think
that you lost your companion.
Now they're just punishing her for being a dumbass, basically.
You know, it's insult to injury there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, how are they going to rank? They got to rank all the animals. I mean, what if you kill your pet whale? Is that different than your horse?
Yeah, the horse. Now, they have special rights.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've horses.
We've talked about that before.
Yeah, we talked about that. We touched on that before.
Don't mess with horses.
There are different levels because, you know, for example, you can kill your pet bug without anybody worrying about it.
Right. That's right. You can throw it against the wall a couple times.
Yeah, but mammals.
even like, say a rat.
In
your
fact,
pet
we got
rat,
we got special swatters for flies.
No, I've read about
special swatters.
Right. People getting arrested.
You buy them at Publix.
But I mean, I wonder what happened if
get out.
Fly killer, 99 cents. Please kill bugs. That's right.
Kill them. The question is, if you, say, for instance, rights. if you in public hack up your 10-foot python, they're going to be upset about that.
Oh, definitely.
That's a reptile, not a mammal.
No, I know. Oh. You know, guinea pigs, you're
but
going
if the
down.
Snake eats you, it doesn't go to jail.
That's right. It's okay.
Yeah.
You can't even feed the snake anything that, like, let's say you feed the snake your other pet.
Or like, or your neighbor's pet.
Right. I don't know what happened to your dog. What's that big lump in your snake?
That's right. No, it is gone beyond the pale as far as the animal rights are concerned.
It is.
Well, I mean, where are they going to stop? Where are they going to take it? This is turning into such a gray area now that I think we talked about this before, but, you know, is your salamander, does that count? I mean, you know, what count? What point in time do you say the animal has rights?
They arrested some kids over here at the fraternity for they shot chickens that were making noise out in the backyard.
Mm-hmm.
They shot them.
But yeah, Kentucky Fried Chicken can gas them all day long and use them.
Well, that is amazing when you think about what they do. How many cows do they kill every day? And yet if you try and kill a horse for human consumption, you go to jail.
Mm.
Probably don't even collect $200 and don't pass go.
That's right.
Maybe there's an alphabetizing thing, you know, dog and cow.
No, it's if it's named Trigger or something. You can, you know,
it's got a name.
I'll tell you what the standard is. If the prosecutor's pissed off, you're going to jail.
That's it. That's it exactly right.
The prosecutor's pissed off.
That's right.
If it would offend the sensibilities of the most sensitive person that you know, you're going to jail.
You're going down.
You're going
we need
down.
To get what we need to do is to arrange for a killer horse.
Right.
Go out and start kicking the shit out of
just
prosecutors. out of prosecutors. So that they will say, oh my God, anybody comes up with a horse problem, we're going to, you know,
right.
Let
send
them
over. Send an let evil him. Trigger over there.
That's an evil trigger. That's right. This is the
E.T.,
anti.
Right.
Yeah, the one from the other dimension.
Right,
the,
right.
Mirror
right.
trigger.
The black one.
That's right. That's right. From the dark side.
So I don't know. That's all I had on that. I had speaking actually of this is kind of funny on this topic. You know, Jack Rhodes. I know you're a big diver. I like to dive a little bit. Did you see the fish killed?
What
the
kind of diving are we talking about?
We're not talking about that right now. Did you see the fish kills the spear fishing diver?
Scuba diver. Yeah, I did. I did see that.
He speared a Jewfish, big old.
Speared a large fish that
Goliath grouper.
That as soon as the spear hit the fish, it hurt the fish a little. Apparently,
right.
And so he sped off into a hole,
tangled the diver,
pulled the spear fisherman along with him, got all tangled up, and he drowned.
So no, you're kidding.
42-year-old man in the Florida Keys.
Wait a minute. Let me get
also,
this straight.
Apparently, the fish that he speared is a protected fish, so shouldn't have been spearing that fish, but.
So the true fish is definitely not going on trial.
Fish is not going on trial.
Okay, good. So, this was like an 800-pound fish or something?
I think a 300-pounder.
300-pounder, and he got tangled in the thing. He didn't bring a knife along to cut himself loose? Nothing.
Apparently not. There are, so, you know, spearing a fish that large, he should have, you know, not been attached to the That's the usual preference.
Yeah, I would say it's like in the
underwater Nantucket sleigh ride is what happens.
I mean, this is like
you know, there's actually also the possibility. No one knows for sure. I guess there is the possibility that he speared a smaller fish, and then maybe the big fish ate it.
Ate it. Yeah.
I don't know that they've seen if the.
Did they autopsy the big protected fish to find out?
I don't know. He might be swimming around.
Probably still alive.
Dragging a spear gun behind him. So
that's right.
If you happen to be...
If you're in need of a slightly used spear gun.
That's right.
God.
Just ask the fish nicely to...
Right.
Yeah, to release it. That's right.
Well, that was certainly sad, though, for the man and his family. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the fish.
And the fish.
You know, God.
Might have hurt the fish.
Do they have rights?
Yeah, they got rights, right. And boiling those lobsters live, too, that's always a good one.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. I hadn't thought
they're screaming in the pot.
Oh, they're screaming in the pot. Well, you know, all the gas is escaping out of them.
And you know what they're screaming, right? Butter. Butter. So
that's what mine was screaming.
That's right.
Lots of it.
Butter, maybe a little salt. What's that you said? A little salt.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, so, moving along.
Moving along.
Light notes. We got bumper music for this light notes. We'll edit that in this live show.
I don't know. I did see this this thing where this guy reprogrammed an ATM to deliver more cash.
Whoa.
Eric, yeah. You're not supposed to give away your secrets.
I'm always looking for ways to make money. These people are always coming up with better ways than I've ever done in my life. But he had one of those prepaid cards, like somebody buys for somebody for an ATM and it withdraws out of their account.
And, he reprogrammed the card?
Ew, yeah.
That's an idea.
$1 million.
No, he reprogrammed it to do four times. So he would say he was going to dispense like a $5 or debit $5 to the account. It would actually disperse a $20 bill.
All right.
Of course. Anyway, but that's...
I would have gone for larger denominations.
Yeah,
than
yeah, yeah. I never have quite understood when somebody walks in with a gun into a 7-Eleven
and demands $5.
You know, and walks out with $30. I mean, right.
And
talking
a pack
about,
of Marlboro Reds.
That's yeah.
Marlboro
Reds. Yeah,
that cool lighter next to the...
That's right.
Thing. No, not that one. The cool one.
Yeah, right. Yeah, man.
I can explain that. Let me tell you, I've had plenty of clients, and they're not really a thing. Thinking too far in the future.
No.
Now I can explain that.
No, they're certainly on something most of the time, I would guess.
It was in Virginia Beach, Virginia, which actually would be a very big listenership for the normal Jimmy Doan show.
That's right.
Mm,
as opposed to the abnormal Jimmy Doan show, yeah. Which is what you're listening to right now.
That's right.
Highly abnormal.
Abnormal Psychology by Jimmy Doan.
Oh, you got a couple things? Go for it. I got it because I'm going to look at read it.
We're bouncing around. Go ahead.
Okay, here's a couple. It looks like iPod. I cannot believe this story, but it looks like iPod is going to come out with an iPod, or Macintosh is going to come out with an iPod that does a breathalyzer.
Actually, I know about that. Jimmy knows about that.
This is incredible.
Not, I think they already have them in Asia.
No, but this is one of the things that I always like about being a Mac guy myself. The people are talking about the Zune, whatever it is, from Microsoft taking over the iPod.
That's right.
And because it's got Wi-Fi or whatever built in and that sort of. But one of the things that is the case with the iPod is that there are so many add-ons to it that there are people making millions.
Right.
Independent companies, and this is one of them, the breathalyzer people. It's called the iBreath. It costs like $80, and you plug it in, and I guess after you're out doing your disco dancing all night long, listen to your iPod, your white earpieces. And
Jimmy, just in case you were wondering, people aren't disco dancing too much. Some of our listeners might be disco dancing. If by any reason this is traveling back in time,
or on some other distant star from 30 so years
if
away.
If people are hip-hop out there.
Okay. Well, so anyway, if you're doing the waltz of the foxtrot and to your iPod and
the Charleston,
that's right.
Spend a little too long at the speakeasy.
That's right. So the point is that after you, yeah, exactly, spend a little time with the TV while you're listening to your tunes, you can now turn your iPod over or upside down or whatever it is, breathe into it, and it'll tell you your BAL.
This just offends me in so many ways.
Really?
Well, you know. Yeah. You know what's going to happen is it's going to become the new game at the bar.
I blew a 3-8.
Well, exactly.
What? I got a 4-2.
Yeah.
I can now do that.
It's different. It's
right before you hit the ground.
No, it's like it's five, the game was five. More like bowling than golf. That is, you want a high score instead of a low score.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Well, yeah, this is to me. Well, what amazes me in it is that this iPod, of course, has a transmitter in it. So I think it's going to immediately transmit your results to the cops and give them your GPS location.
That's right.
And as soon as I noticed that they called it a jail-saving gizmo, not a life-saving gizmo. Because, of course,
good choice of words there.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
no one wants jail.
Well, no, nobody cares about those kids that are drinking, that have iPods, that are drinking, that are doing hip hop. They're not going to die. They know they're not going to die. I mean, that's
well, they're invincible.
They're invincible.
The penalty for bad driving, the maximum penalty for bad driving is death. Okay. And your incentive to not wreck is because if you do, you could die. It does. It's not the jail thing is really a minor consideration. Although these days it's becoming more and more.
Well, now
that's right.
Yeah. Is that here? Or is that
that's right. Oh.
Run! Everybody run!
Okay, Jimmy, don't show us now.
No, over. Right. Listen to whatever music I can pull real quick.
Goodbye, goodbye.
Yeah, to me, this is, it's amazing that we become so acclimated to the idea that drinking and driving is a problem, that this is now an accessory. I mean, not a lighter, not a knife, not a flashlight, but a breathalyzer is what you want to have.
You, but the thing is, you've been able to buy, I can tell you right now, you've been able to buy from Radio Shack, for God's sake, you've been able to buy a breathalyzer for years. I mean, that's no big deal. This is just another, it's an add-on. I mean, and they're cheap, and I can tell you that the ones at Radio Shack are like $40. This is $80.
Really?
Yeah.
We need to get some with the Jimmy Doan logo on them there.
Oh, yeah,
That'll be in our swag.
Yeah, I'm not breathing into anything with a transmitter, I can tell you that.
That's true. Well, yeah, that's right. That's, so you're dead.
Now, this also brings up something else I can talk about. I have here an article about the best excuses for getting out of traffic tickets. And one, it reminds me of...
I would think that the best excuse would be...
It wasn't me.
Wasn't me.
But, sir, you're in the driver's seat.
No,
yeah, but it wasn't me.
Now, this is great. Go back and listen to some of our other shows. We have talked about this before. So tell us what to do.
Well, the first thing that you say... Yeah, exactly.
First thing you say...
Is it okay if I refuse? That's your first answer to pretty
so
much...
the officer comes up, I think
you
should.
You're supposed to say that like a lot, aren't you?
Yes. Okay. If no matter what they say, if they're asking you permission, they need your permission. And
I never have... Now, let me. Maybe you could explain this to me, because we only have a few minutes left here, and I don't want to take a lot of time with this, but... I never have understood when they go onto a bus or they do something and they say after the miscreant, you know, gave permission, they found the 4 tons of marijuana under his back seat, you know, to search the car. I'm thinking, he didn't give him. He couldn't have.
Well, you'd be surprised at how many people will, when the police walks up and says, "Is that your cocaine, man?" That the guy says, "Oh, that cocaine? Yeah, that's mine.
Yeah.
Is there a problem with that?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
no, come
it's
on.
Illegal. No, I'm not
kidding.
I'm telling you,
it was film.
People confess and people fold like Superman on laundry day when they get asked if the stuff is theirs. I mean, seriously.
Superman on laundry
fold
day.
Fold like a taco.
Yeah. Well,
like a taco.
Let me tell you, here's the defense I want to offer up for you DUI people. What you want to do if you're out there drinking and driving, keep an unopened bottle of liquor in your glove box.
And then...
When you get pulled over, go ahead and stop. But as you're getting stopped, take the fifth out or the pint out of your glove box.
Flask.
And keep
break the seal.
Yeah, exactly. Well, not yet. Wait till the police officer walks up to your window and then hold it up in front of him, break the seal, and chug.
That is a great idea.
Okay, that way...
You heard it here first.
They will not be able to prove that you weren't drunk just after he pulled you over.
You have to drink the whole thing?
No, you just drink enough to set off the machine.
Right, right.
And therefore... When the machine goes haywire, you can say, "But that was because what I drank after I got pulled over." And the police officer is your witness because he was standing there at your window
right before you vomited on his shoes.
Do you think that they would, if this happened fairly regularly to our Jimmy Doan listener?
The good thing is they can't bring up the last time you got pulled over the next time you get pulled over. They're separate incidents. So you can do it over and over again. You go in front of the same judge. He doesn't know. Well, he may know, but the jury doesn't know. Every time, and it doesn't matter what they say, they can't prove.
This can be a weekly event for our listeners out there.
A weekly event.
Well, until, of course,
a great way to spend
this reminds
Friday
me
night.
A little bit of what I've heard before. Until you die. Oops. From smashing into a tree because you were drunk.
Right.
It reminds me of this girl that I was talking to. Because here in Florida, it's mandatory these days that you get a little DUI breathalyzer on your car if you've had a problem.
Right.
And this girl was talking to me, and she said, "Well, you know, how do you beat that?" I said, "Well, you know, you don't really want to. I mean, that's the whole idea." She said, "Well, let me give you this example. I'm sitting in my car and I'm drunk, and I got my little girl. I need to take her to school, so maybe I'll have my little girl here breathe into this thing, and then I can drive." And I said, "Yeah." So you want to be driving around drunk with your little girl in the front seat? I said, "Come on, give me a break. I mean, that's." Yeah, you don't deserve to drive if that's the way you're going to
be. Statistics are a lot different than most people think on drinking and driving. It's really only about 10 or 12% of the accidents that are caused by drunk drivers. MAD and those people really exaggerate the statistics.
No,
I'm not kidding. No, I'm serious.
It's hard to believe. No, well, the other thing is that
terrible shame that.
But the other thing, it may be 10 or 12, but I can tell you that I would guess that at any given time, especially in the evenings, that. Gosh, I'll bet you 20 or 30 or 40% of the people driving are slightly impaired in one way or the other.
I bet you too. The biggest cause of accident is speed. The second biggest is fatigue.
Cell phones have got to be.
Cell phones are like number three.
Yeah, they're
cell phones on the radio.
But you get stopped
listening to the Jimmy Jones show.
Speeding the Jimmy Jones show. That's automatic.
That's right.
You're laughing and vomiting out your nose at the same time.
And you're spewing your beer out your nose as you're driving.
As you're driving, right.
That's right. So the deal is, though, that you're caught for speed. They stop you for speeding, and then they find out you've been drinking. But that's why you were speeding, maybe. But I'm sure that by the time you get somebody who's arrested for drunk driving, I'll bet you they've done drunk driving hundreds of times.
Yeah, and nothing happened.
And nothing happened.
This is a victimless crime. I mean, until something happens, it shouldn't be a crime. Until there's a citizen who stands up and says, "I was hurt by this," or "I was about to be hurt by this,"
right?
Then it shouldn't be a crime.
Well, it's what are they called? Deprivation of life, liberty, or property, or something like that. And that's when it becomes a.
Well, it's what it should be. I mean, there used to have to be a victim in the crime. But now it's just, well, you could have hurt somebody. Right. It's like, well, I could have hurt somebody by walking outside my door.
I wanted to hurt somebody.
Yeah, but you could hurt someone every time you get in your car.
Very quickly, Counselor, right. how this dovetails with the business of the victim, even if there is a victim, says, "Look, I don't want to prosecute. I decided it's okay, and I don't." And then
the state picks it up.
But, I mean, how do they do that?
Well, good question. There was a ruling, which we pointed out before, it was a spurious one, which said that even if the victim says they don't want to prosecute, the state can, quote-unquote, pick up the charge, which means that they prosecute anyway. They can force the victim to testify. They can subpoena the victim and put him under oath and put him up there on the stand, force him to testify, even though they don't want to. It happens all the time in domestic violence cases. I can't tell
now
you
this, how. I know
in other words, from the state's point of view.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, they're cleaning up the streets, and we're all going to go to jail.
That's right.
Doing the right thing.
Well, we do have the highest, I think, the highest per capita incarceration.
Oh, definitely, like times two for a Western country.
For a Western country, yeah.
Here in Land of the Free.
Land of the Free. That's right. Well, that's right. Well, that's the beauty. Once you get everybody locked up, well, it's Matrix. Here we go.
It's the Matrix.
That's it. We're going to all be
plug me in.
It's the Futurama is actually just kind of a precursor of the way it's going to be bottled heads, and then the bodies, of course, will just be reproducing.
That's preposterous science fiction mumbo jumbo.
Okay, that's good. What's next?
I just got a couple things.
Well, we only have about 2 minutes left to go.
Okay. Speaking of. Stuff on the highways. Did you see the
roadkill?
The bicyclist awaiting ambulance gets hit again.
No way!
Oh, I couldn't pass this up. It was in Greenville, South Carolina.
Oh, my sister. Lives
yeah,
there.
No, Mrs. Sister Jim. Yeah, driver's been charged seen in an accident with injuries after her car hit a bicyclist who was in the road waiting for an ambulance.
What the hell
was
he doing in the road?
This is probably a Darwin Award type of thing, is what I'm going to go with.
No, he's writing in the road so they'd see me.
Yeah. Bicyclist in serious condition, not wearing a helmet, and his bike lacked proper lighting, the police guy said.
Aha, it's his own fault.
It is his own fault.
Aha.
And hit first by a Nissan, driven by this person of Anderson.
Boy, I hope the second car was bigger. Well, what was the second car?
No charges were filed in that case. Interesting, the first one.
While
he was waiting in the road for an ambulance, the bicyclist was hit by a second car, whose driver stopped for a moment before
leaving
the scene.
Right.
Okay, on that note, we got to quit. Anyway.
We're out of here, too.
We're out of here like we just did a bicyclist.
That's right.
Thanks for listening.
No charges.
Today.
Okay, anyway, thanks for listening to Jimmy Doan Show. That's Jimmy at JimmyDoan.com or Jack at JimmyDoan.com or Curtis JimmyDoan.com or Eric.
Spelled any way you want.
Spelled any way you want at JimmyDoan.com. Well, no, you're not supposed to use the spelled any way you want in the Jimmy Doan part.
Right, right. I just did it with a C or a K in case people forget that I'm actually Eric with a K.
That's right. And
all complaints to dbag at JimmyDoan.com.
That's right. No, thanks for listening. Really had a good time, and we'll be back hopefully next Saturday.
Hey,
with some
commercials.
Probably some commercials. Hey, matter of fact, if anybody wants to have a commercial
sponsors,
think please.
We work deals.
We charge according to how much we can get. We charge according to how much we like you.
That's right. How much we like your product.
That's right. And how much money you have.
That's right.
And what do you look like?
That's right.
That's right.
All right. Well, so that is it. Done. Out of here.
Hey, I'm a real little try, don't you? I'm just up to you now.